Coming up, a new system of thinking that will rock your world.
You really can have it all, it all, it all, it all, it all, it all. Welcome to Having It All, featuring experts and pioneers in health, wealth, relationships, and spirituality, creating a healthier, wealthier, happier you. And now, here's your host, the Miracle Mama, Marbeth Dunn.
Woo! Welcome to Having It All. I'm Marbeth Dunn. In a little while, I'll bring on our amazing guest, the extraordinary Diane Collins, visionary author of Do You Quantum Think? But first, can you really have it all? Close your eyes for just a moment and ask yourself, what does having it all mean to me? Is it having a wonderful home, a loving relationship, a loving family, the house, the car, the status symbols? Is it having great connections, better health, a rich cultural life, living in the burbs, having the career that you love, having friends that appreciate you? Maybe it's travel. Is it money or what money can buy? And do you believe it's possible? Even if you don't have it right now, know that you absolutely can. And it all begins with you. Having it all means different things to different people. To me, it's being in the flow, being in alignment with my deepest core values, being happy and loving and appreciative. So between yesterday and today, I won 3 raffles. They weren't large prizes, but for me, they were a confirmation that I'm on the right path. I'm in the flow. And when I won the 2 raffles today at lunch, several ladies called out, "That's because you work with miracles." And yes, I do believe I have it all. Thanks to all the miracles in my life, I'm happy and appreciative for everything. I've been working with miracles for over 30 years now, and I first learned about them when I was living in Haiti. I was a painter in Haiti. I lived there for 17 years, and I had moved there with my former husband to buy a sailboat, which we never did. But we ended up on a mountaintop in the beautiful Haitian countryside for 7 years before building a home in a seaside community. I painted murals and portraits, vignettes of Haitian life, prints and note cards, and my art was my saving grace. I was in pretty desperate straits at the time. My relationship was a mess. I was a mess. I had terrible low self-esteem. I was desperately seeking a cure for my asthma. And I read so many metaphysical books. One morning, I was reading a book in bed, and the book was on peace, how to be more peaceful. And God knows I sure needed it. I was having so much trouble focusing on the page. I looked up for a moment, and I just couldn't concentrate. I looked up at a shaft of sunlight, and there were dust motes that were dancing in it. And that's when it happened. My aha moment. My body just completely relaxed, and I burst out in a huge grin, and I realized for the very first time that my thoughts created my reality. My inner thoughts created my outer reality, and that I could actually choose to be more peaceful. And that was so huge. And as I began to choose more peaceful thoughts, I was able to access a deep, rich, personal connection with the source of all that is. And miracles began to fill my life. My marriage issues resolved. We were actually able to renew our vows. clients showed up where it had been dry economically. Money began to flow and my health improved. And now I help others who are struggling with changes in career and health and relationships and spiritual issues to find peace and acceptance and love and miracles. And I've developed a powerful miracle activation technology that empowers you to access miraculous breakthroughs to greater confidence and alignment, financial success, emotional freedom, peace of mind, and more harmonious relationships. But enough about me. Let's bring on our amazing guest, Diane Collins. I am so excited to bring her on the show. She's the six-time award-winning author of the best-selling book, Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. Diane, welcome. So happy to finally have you.
Thank you so much for having me on. And that was such a wonderful story you just told, Marbeth. And it really is, you know, when people say to me, what is my story? I always think of it, well, my story is really our story. So when you're telling that story, and we all have, as I like to say, the paradox of being human is we're universally the same and individually unique. So we all have the experiences that you just distinguished, and we all know that miracles are possible, right? We'd like to call them miracles because it makes it magical. Well, I went right into it, though, didn't I, here? But I just was so inspired by what you were saying, because when you look at this fact that we already are connected to all that is, to infinite intelligence, to infinite mind, and that, you know, it sounds almost too easy that all we have to do is tune in. And then, of course, you know, learn the intricacies of mind. And of course, that's what my work is about.
Of course. Yeah. Well, you are a highly acclaimed leader of new consciousness, popular media personality, creator of a groundbreaking system of thinking, Quantum Think, which offers us a methodology, 21 specific advanced principles where you blend scientific insight and spiritual knowledge into practical modern wisdom to create real solutions for us in our modern lives. How did all this happen, Diane? What is this story?
I'll give you the short version because we have so much to talk about. What happened for me is that I woke up in this incarnation and at a very young age, and, you know, really all along, it was a continuous awakening. And what I noticed, at least as a teenager, is that we all know what to do. There is so much knowledge, and particularly in now in the 21st century, I mean, the amazing technology of infinite mind on the internet, right, of humanity. And so we have all the knowledge, we have the scriptures of every religion, we have the wisdom, we have the poets, we have the artists, we have the musicians, and all of these that touch us so deeply. And then I looked in the world and I thought, well, we all know what to do. How come we're not doing it? You know, and all you need for proof of that is, and I'm not saying a wholesale remark that, because there's so much goodness in the world, and I think we often forget to acknowledge so much that works, and we have to look at divine intelligence for that, because sometimes you wonder, how is it working despite all this other stuff that we think of it, right, as not working? But when I looked at it, I thought, if you want to create your life and the world the way that you want it, then you'd have to know something about what enables us to create anything. What are the dynamics of creation that we have been born with? And that became my quest, because basically I'd say it like this, Marbeth. I wanted us, and I mean all of us, humanity, to go from merely knowing the wisdom as these great concepts, great ideas, you should do this, you should do that, you should have more compassion, you should, you know, be more kind-hearted, to actually living it, being the walking, talking embodiment of these higher aspirations, of the virtues, of the mastery practice that enables us to create anything. So that became my quest, and along the way, of course, I knew it would be something to do with a consciousness awakening, an awakening of consciousness, and also that it would be spiritually based. And then I came across quantum physics, and I thought, well, this is really interesting. Actually, you know, I started reading at the time The Tao of Physics by Fritjof Capra, and I thought, wow, this is very cool that the quantum physicists are now realizing and proving what the spiritual masters have said for time immemorial. And what was that? That we're in a consciousness-based world, that it's we're multidimensional beings. It's not just physically based, as the 17th century scientists declared. Only physical matter is real. And so you look in the world today and you realize our whole orientation of society is around that worldview. So to cut to the chase here, so what I realized along the way is I thought, well, people know about meditation, mindfulness, subtle energy, energy healing, you know, connection to spirit, getting these messages. And then there are the actual dynamics of mind. So I thought, well, if I could put this all together, because it seemed to be two realities. One, which is often said as the 3D reality that we see in the daily news headlines, and the other that we know as this more expanded place of wisdom and truth and beauty. And I thought, why don't I just distinguish this for all of us, because we all have a piece of it, but one of the aspects of a quantum worldview, of a spiritual worldview, is unity. And we know that we live in a universe of whole systems interpenetrating one another, and that we often don't think of it this way, but thinking takes place as a system. And the thinking is guided according to the overarching assumptions and beliefs and ideas of the worldview. So we're in a quantum age, but we're still very much under the influence of the industrial age, only physical matter is real, circumstantially based action, take, you know, linear steps, step by step, and someday you'll reach the goal. And of course, we're way beyond that now. So that is really, that wraps it up. So I invented Quantum Think, and actually I say I didn't choose it. It chose me, because I didn't actually one day wake up and say, hey, I think I'll invent a system of thinking, 21 principles and practices. No, it came through me. And I think everyone listening can relate to that. We all have unique wisdom that comes through us. You being the miracle mama, you know that. And that's what happened. And so it became a system of thinking that activates that multidimensional consciousness in all of us. Whether we're reading it, I also have an audio program, whether we're hearing it, reading it, or just distinguishing it on a show like this. And it's because it's touching what is already in us, what we're already connected to. So it really brings it into the forefront of consciousness. And for whatever reason that I cannot explain, it works. It works to integrate the wisdom. Miracles abound. So that's really the story.
It's wonderful. So you work with people to master their innate genius using the physics of mind, what you call five natural faculties of mind: intent, intuition, subtle energy, resonance, and meditation to awaken our awareness, expand the way we think, and you've brought your new system of thought to large corporations. How have they responded to this radical new system? This is a huge deviation from the industrial way of thinking.
It really is. And, you know, the interesting thing is, and as you know, I work with my husband, partner in all things, master quantum think coach and consultant, Alan Collins. And we have been working. We actually chose to work in major corporations. We also work with individuals. And as you know, we work with everything, entrepreneurs, celebrities, students, artists, homemakers. But we did focus on corporate executives and managers many years ago. And it was deliberate, Marbeth, because we thought, if we want to have a transformation in the world, what would be the highest leverage point? And not saying it's the highest, but I'm talking about in terms of visibility and reaching large numbers of people and people who are in a leadership position. Now, today, as in Quantum Think, I say every single one of us, regardless of your aspiration or profession, whether you're paid or not for it, that we're all being called upon to bring forth our unique leadership. And that has to do with the talents and gifts that we're born with and being able to bring that to manifestation. That is our contribution to the world, including what we resonate, our own vibrational frequency, our own level of evolution. But to the corporate and to your question. So it is interesting because we worked in a lot of companies where they had like, for example, AT&T, where they have a lot of engineers, and they're brought up, they're trained in that old, what I lovingly call the old worldview, the industrial age worldview that gave rise to machines and all the genius of that age. And they would say to me, well, will I be able to get this? Because I'm really a classical, you know, worldview thinker. And then, you know, and I'd say, you know, don't worry about it. Everybody gets it. Because, again, this is, you know, it's like when, you know, when we hear the expression, it touched a chord, or these type of expressions where it touched your heart, it touched a chord.
Sure.
And it's like that, and you know, because you do know a bit of quantum think, that it's that's what happens. So it doesn't matter whether we're talking to a corporate executive or a 16-year-old thinking about their future, who, of course, we love to talk to, and they really resonate with quantum think, that These people that we work with in corporate life, they're people, and they have exactly the same thing going on that we have. And when they start to realize that they can, and I'll name some of the principles, think from infinite possibility, for example. And so, you know, when you take it to a practical level and you think, well, what are you doing in a lot of corporate, you know, in mostly in work, you're going into meetings. And you're having communications with others. And how does quantum think help that? Well, someone comes up with a great idea, new idea, and what I call the least action pathway can kick in. The way the energy or the thought goes, simply because it's been that route before. And so, you know, that industrial age view, in science it's called classical mechanical worldview. So I say always, not to insult, but in many ways we became mechanical and automatic in the way that we think and the way we hold our beliefs. So what happens for them is they get that as a distinction. Infinite, wow, it's an infinite possibility universe, literally, and this is the realm of miracles, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We could think up anything. We could have anything work if we have that intent for it. And of course, you know, it has to be grounded in that it's possible. But what happens is someone will come up with an idea, and instead of going, well, this is why that can't work, won't work, or never worked before, we tried that last year and it didn't work, now they just say to each other, oh, isn't that a least action pathway kicking in, not giving it any meaning, no judgment on it whatsoever, and the person snaps out of it immediately. Oh, yeah, okay, that's right. Let's think from infinite possibility here. What else is possible? That's how it works. This is one small example. Or being in one conversation, that's one of the quantum think principles. Being in one conversation, realizing in a world of whole systems that we're each a voice in this one conversation. A conversation is one holistic field of awareness, of relatedness. It's a relational field of energy intelligence, and it's conscious. So this, whether right now we're on this show and people are listening, and people are listening beyond the limits of space and time. That's another one of the quantum thing distinction, beyond time, because that is the underlying reality. And so when we're speaking, you and I are speaking right now, and everyone listening is an important, integral aspect of this conversation that we're in. So when you and I are speaking, we're aware of the people listening, but not just aware that it's not like we're talking at people, right? We're aware that the listening is as important to a conversation as is the speaking. So when you talk about the distinction being in one conversation and you start to realize that, and you can catch yourself when you drift off into your own conversation, or as I say, usually the least action pathway of that communication is we're in our own conversation about your conversation, so therefore we're not really with you at all. But being in one conversation, the practice is to imagine that whoever is speaking, you are one with that person, you know, and it's not woo-woo la-la land. This is real because that's the reality of it, and I know you experienced that too.
Absolutely.
So these are the things that anybody can get this, and everyone loves it because it brings the relationship to a whole new quality.
Well, I think since we do want to incorporate everyone into our conversation, let's open the lines to our listeners to call in and ask Diane any question you want about Quantum Think. Call-in number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And in the meantime, Diane, everybody's looking for answers. And I love your Quantum Think mantra. When you master your mind, you master your life. So many people are connecting from the heart. When I work with my students, my clients, I bring them into the heart space. And your focus is on the importance of the mind. So why are you saying that?
And of course, I love that question. Because this is an example of either or thinking. So there are certain characteristics of the industrial age. You know, what's that ordinary thinking, and what's quantum thinking? And one of the great insights of that science has given us, and quantum thinking is not about science; it's about how the discoveries of science shape the way we think. Well, one of the ways is that the old worldview was a world of either or. They wanted to predict and control nature. Now, think of it. In order to predict and control, you'd have to say it's either this way or that way. So we don't realize that subtly how that trained our thinking. You know, do you want to do this, you know, work or that work? Well, how about both? So what happened in quantum world, quantum land, is that they realized, and it comes from, is is energy a particle or a wave? And they realized it's both.
Yeah.
And that you couldn't see the whole picture without that. So we're moving from an either or to a both and world. And, you know, when you look in the world, I'm going to get to the heart and mind, but when you look in the world of how this shows up, conservative, liberal, right? And you see how this either or mechanism has really, it does create a lot of problems for us when you don't have the awareness of your own capability, your own ability to awaken yourself and go into the both and. So when you look at this heart-mind thing, you know, and I wrote in Do You Quantum Think, one of the subtitles, thinking gets a bad rap in this society. And yet we know that, let me just say this, that mind, from the spiritual wisdom on how they describe it, is that mind, how I'm using it, is what we hold in awareness. So there's infinite mind that individualizes as what we think of as our own mind. Okay, so I'm not specifically talking about the mentation, you know, the automatic mind chatter, the monkey mind. This is not what I mean by mind. What I mean by mind is awareness, in particular with quantum thinking, awakened awareness. And that the spiritual masters say that that mind is located in the spiritual heart. That is the center. So it really is, it's not only a both, it's a both. It's both mind and heart, and they're not really separate. And, you know, the interesting thing about it on a physiological basis is that the most cutting-edge scientists say that the heart, the physical heart, is the fifth brain. Because, you know, there's different, you know, the limbic brain, this brain, that brain, the reptilian brain, and the frontal cortex, all these different things. But so they call it the fifth brain because the physical heart contains the same type of cells, neuronal cells, as the brain. Okay, that's not my field of expertise, but it's just a little bit of facts I picked up along the way. But it just shows you that in every dimension, in the spiritual dimension, in the virtual dimension of mind. Why do I say when you master your mind, you master your life? I say it another way like this. Your mind is your life, and you are not your mind. And this is another quantum paradox. Your mind is your life because every single one of us, rich or poor, young or old, black or white, you know, you man or woman, and on and on and on, we all have to deal with our own mind. And we know now, and we know throughout the literature of conscious creation, of deliberate creation, that our habits of thinking, or I like to say it like this, intent expressed as thought, experienced as a feeling tone in your own being as resonance, gives rise to your experience. You talked about that, you know, aha experience that you had in Haiti where you saw that your thoughts were actually giving you your inner and outer experience. So, and there is scientific evidence to mind-to-mind and mind-to-matter connections being real. I mean, it's been proven over and over and over again, still not in the mass, you know, what we would call mass media consciousness. Why? Because we're all brought up under this old world industrial age worldview that said only matter is real. So even though we know with spiritual life, we feel the soul, however we express it, it's still not, it's like, why do we call this alternative? Or why do we be concerned that other people, if I talk about subtle energy and how to transform it or transmute it, take it to a higher level, or how to work, you know, how to live in with the intuitive faculty, like keep expanding it, mastering it. Why do we consider that alternative? Because those are the non-material realms. And so in conventional education, we haven't learned these five faculties of mind that we're talking about. So when you talk about, why do I say master your mind, master your life, your mind, what fills your mind is giving you your experience of life. Yet, you are not your mind, because we are that universal, infinite awareness where we experience, you know, what do we experience in that spiritual heart? We experience our connection there. So that we are both at the same time. Otherwise, sure, we couldn't be aware of what's in our mind, or what are we experiencing? Or, wait a minute, I don't need that. I don't have to identify with that least action pathway thought that I say just visits from the surrounding thoughtosphere. I can interrupt that. I don't have to identify with it. I didn't even choose that thought.
Yeah,
how do
right?
you know, right? Why would you?
I love
you,
it.
You wouldn't choose a disparaging thought about yourself or others, would you? That's what
no,
I call
but
them
you know,
choice.
I think that so many people do.
I don't think they're actually a choice. That's the difference.
Right. No, it's true. We don't choose it, but on some levels we do. But I think it's so interesting. We just emerged from the last age, the Piscean age, with the René Descartes, I think, therefore I am dichotomy. And now we're in the I am that I am, which is that universal connection between the mind and the heart. We are much fuller, more complete beings as we step into this grander role. So I think it's really beautiful. You explained it so beautifully. And now we have Sarah from Florida on the call, and she has a question.
Great.
Hello.
Sarah, is this the Sarah that I know and love?
Yes, it is. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Hi. I didn't know Sarah would be calling in, but I recently met Sarah. Go ahead.
Indeed.
So glad
thank
you're
you guys
here.
So much. Yes. So you talk about intent, and I was thinking for the other listeners and, of course, for me, maybe give an example of how someone, well, your background thoughts on that, right? For people who are not familiar with your book and what you mean by intent over or in comparison, say, to intention, but also how you would, like a step-by-step or using intent in your life more deliberately. Mm-hmm. Am I making myself clear?
You are. It's always better if we have not a hypothetical. We like to work in real life to have something happen for you right now, Sarah. But I will, because you brought that up about, I do make a distinction in quantum think between intent and intention. And we often use this, you know, in general terms, people use these terms interchangeably. But I make this distinction, and by the way, I want to say distinctions are not, quote, the absolute truth, you know, or something to believe, but distinctions are give us an access to something that creates possibilities for us. So that's why I call the quantum think principles distinctions in new thinking. And the intent and intention distinction, intent being an activation dynamic, an activation of your personal resonant energy, intelligent field, conscious field, all of the above. Because when we create an intent, and I'm going to ask you, Sarah, since you're here, like something that you would want to create, so we can give a real example. But intention being the end result, the measurable future goal result. And it's very important to have that distinction, because a lot of people say, well, I created my intent, or I created the intention, but it didn't work. And this is what I mean by the intricacies about the dynamics of mind, because when you realize that what you're holding which was a channeled wisdom of Jane Roberts long ago, but it's a great expression that I borrow from Seth, feeling tone of your being, because people, you can understand that. If we think of ourselves as like a musical instrument, we're vibrating. Everything is vibrating energy in various frequencies. So what we hold, how does that show up in ordinary everyday life, is that for us as people, that what we hold in our thoughts, in our habitual thought forms, is creating our personal resonance. And we know that what we resonate, we emanate. It's sending out. It's like we're all little mini broadcasting stations. And what we emanate, we do attract. And because of, and there is a real scientific principle called sympathetic resonance. And what does it mean? It means that things that are in a similar frequency range with one another do attract to one another. Or if you go beyond the frequency range, then it blows it out, like when the opera singer sings beyond the frequency range of the glass, and it shatters the glass. So what we hold in our own being, and this is why I call that intent, we can consciously generate what we're holding. If we're not getting the outer results that we want in life, we can create a new intent. So, Sarah, did you have something that you wanted to create?
Yes.
Or is that enough of a good, yes. Is that enough of an answer for you? Or
sure, that works. But I also was thinking, for other people and myself, like, okay, I can give an example. I would love to take my brother and go down to Central America where my mother lives and have this little family reunion thing. I have other family there as well, but my brother hasn't been and I haven't been in many years. And so, you know, and having it be just beautiful, you know, in every way, somewhat luxurious, but more, yeah, does that give enough information? I'm more looking to answer if someone has that. It's kind of measurable, maybe, I'm not sure. But
well,
how would they begin to kind of... Mm-hmm.
Is there anything in the way of it for you, or are you going to do it?
That would be the only thing that's in the way, right? Is that's what I mean. How do people break through saying, I'm going to make this happen, using their intent?
Well, you see, that's a good question, and I'm glad you brought that up. Because intent, and this is, you know, goes again to what quantum think distinguishes new worldview thinking, quantum worldview thinking, as distinct from industrial age thinking, because we're conditioned basically by both, but when you can make the distinction, that's when you're at actual conscious choice. So when you say, well, if I have an intent, and I'll tell you something, I just got chills because I have to point to something that happened to Marbeth. You don't know this either, but I wanted to mention what I do before I come on the show. Because intent is not a cause and effect. See, the old worldview in machine age, right? Make this, press on this part, and that moves. And in the dynamic of intent, which is a consciousness intent, I mean, a consciousness dynamic, a dynamic of mind, does not work in that cause and effect way. It is a field effect. So when you create an intent, and so in this example that you brought up, Sarah, you have an intention, which is to go and have that, right? To have the family reunion, have it. And then the intent part of it is, and I always, I want to say often, but it really is always for me, when I'm going to a family event, because that's where my least action pathways come up. I have this judgment or that judgment. These are all least action pathways. I go, wait a minute, I don't want to have that judgment. What do I want to have? Well, I'm going to create an intent. And you said it, actually, Sarah, that my intent is we are, and of course we always say it in the present tense, I call it the omnipresent tense, because it's vibrating out in, you know, omnidirectional, because you're holding this in right. your being, that we're having, that everyone is, this is how I say it for our family things, that when before I go, I just do this internally, that everyone is connected, it's a loving, we're having a good time together, everyone is really appreciating and honoring each other, and it's just a wonderful experience. So I hold that. Now, so far, you get the difference between the intention and the intent, right? Because the intent is you're activating the field, and the field will attract many results consistent with that statement of intent. Now, here's the little caveat, let's say, that if you're holding, let's say you're saying, we're going and, you know, my family is having a wonderful time, we're all connected, you know, everybody's really into each other, very intimate. And then you're saying, underneath that, you're saying, not really, because, you know, my cousin is really, you know, self-absorbed and this one is that, you know, and you have all your judgments. Well, to the extent that you have negative beliefs that you are holding as the way it is, that's the way it is, the absolute truth about my family or any of the members of it, or the way we are when we're together, to the extent that you're holding that, you interfere with the intent, with the relational field. Because the difference between quantum thinking and positive thinking, and it's always good to have positive thoughts, but I mean it in this way, is that positive thinking is like a positive affirmation covering over a negative belief and pretending that the belief isn't there. Whereas quantum thinking starts from a quantum insight that because we're in a universe of energy and flux, it's always shifting and changing. It's a universe of possibility waiting to happen, waiting to become probability into actuality. That means it's where the infinite possibility is anything could happen in any moment. So when you realize that your thoughts about another person, about yourself, about a situation, even if you have 5-10 years of evidence on it, oh no, but he really is a jerk, that thought is not the truth. This is quantum thinking. You start from that it's neither the truth that my family is totally in love, or is it the truth that my family is at odds with each other? Neither of those are the truth. The question is, if reality is context dependent, which it is, and a context is a statement of intent, and intent activates that energy intelligent personal resonant field, what it comes to is, which one do you choose to live from? So that's a real example. How was that for you?
Pretty good.
That was awesome. That was awesome, Diane. We do have another caller. And before we get to him, I thought we should talk a little bit about your quantum think experience. I want to tell everyone that all of Diane Collins' information will be found on the show page on havingitallradio.com. And you just go to her show page and you can find how to contact Diane, all her social media, and also she's been so kind as to offer us a free intro to her Quantum Think Experience program, which is an audio program that she's going to offer you a special discount. But the intro is free and you can listen to it. And there is a coupon on her show page as well. Did I leave anything out, Diane?
No, you didn't. It's just when you go on that, when you click on the link from Marbeth's show page, you'll see the Quantum Think Experience site and explains everything there. And as you said, listen to the free introduction. It explains the audio program and everything that's on there. As I call it, the quickest, easiest, fastest way to start quantum thinking. It just comes in multidimensionally when you listen. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you, Diane. It's amazing, an amazing program. And I'm so excited. I can't wait to start it myself.
I know. I'm excited for you, too. You know, Alan, my partner, we've been doing this for years, and we always read and listen to it also, because it's every time you listen, and all of our clients tell us this, you hear, it's like, wow, did I ever hear that before? And the reason is we're always in a different time in place in our life. And what I had to tell you, I did mention it, so I wanted to follow up and say why I got chills when Sarah was asking that question before, is that before a show, I always open my book randomly, you know, to get a non-local mind connection, to just see what is the point of focus. And I happened to open up before this show, Marbeth, to the distinction energy and flux, and specifically to a paragraph about subtle energy. And the thing that gave me the chills is that I was referring to this Bulgarian master. His name is Omram Ivanov, if anyone ever heard of him. And, you know, since he's passed to the other side, but unbelievable guy. And he was saying that if you try to use your thought directly on material substance, it can be very challenging. And that is the exact sentence that I turned to in my book before the show. And then Sarah said, well, what if I try to get my intent to have something happen? And this is what he's talking about, right? So
right.
Isn't that adorable?
It's absolutely perfect. We do have another caller. We have my partner, my fiance Harrison, is on the line.
Wow! Did we? It sounds like we set these callers up, but we didn't, did we?
No, I did not.
No, but I'm thrilled and honored to hear from Harrison Klein, who is a master himself.
Hey, sweetie, how are you?
Great. How are
Hi,
you?
Sweetie.
Oh, I thought he was talking to me. I realized you're the sweetie. Okay, well, we're both a sweetie.
We're both a sweetie.
That's right. You're both my sweeties. No question about it. Well, life is sweet, so, you know, it's easy to throw that term around. So I just wanted to say, first of all, that I've read Quantum Think, that I think it's awesome, 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 awesome book, and I recommend it to anybody who, you know, who absolutely wants to inquire into the depths of how anything works in this entire universe. So it's a very, very deep and wonderful and a lucid experience of significance. And I also want to say how wonderful you are, Diane, because I know you personally for years, and there's no question about the wonder and awe of you. So it's all
thank
beautiful.
Thank you so much. It's a virtual, it's a love fest here on the
It's
phone.
A love fest.
Let's have a love fest. All right. So we're going to go dancing soon. And what we want to talk about, what I'd like to talk about in terms of the question that I have here, the quantum think is really a system of thinking. But, you know, what I understand enlightenment to be is a non-system of thinking. So how does quantum think relate to the entire focus and process and experience of actuality of enlightenment, or this illumination, subtle energy, higher consciousness circumstance for what we understand as this expanded non-physical version of ourselves?
Brilliant, important question. Thank you for that question.
But I have to say before you start that we only have about 2 more minutes
okay.
in which to answer it.
That's a 2 minute question if I ever heard one.
Well, you know what? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good, we have 2 minutes. That was an enlightened response right there.
Doug says we have 3 or 4 minutes. So.
Okay. Okay. That's good, Doug. Thank you. Well, first of all, I do say that quantum think is actually designed to take you beyond thinking to a new state of being. And I know that's what probably you're referring to, Harrison, because when we talk about enlightenment, I mean, we could say you have a whole, you know, 10 series of shows on that alone, I'm sure. But when I think of it in the short version right now, is that, you know, what people often talk about, well, the real experience of life is wordless, beyond words, in that place of silence within. And yet, again, paradoxically, at the same time, we can't even refer to that place of silence and to the experience, which is the experience of the infinite, that it can never, the infinite cannot be placed in a finite languaging of it, though we try. And I think that's why, you know, in many scriptures and religions and wisdom traditions, there are hundreds of names for God. There are, and for even the spirits and the aspects of God, because we cannot put the infinite into the finite. Yet, in ordinary daily life, we experience life through language. So when we talk about, well, you know, it's really not about thinking, it's of the heart. Well, we can't even think of the heart without using that language. Would you agree with that, Mr. Harrison Klein?
Well, language we use shapes what we're also able to imagine. And, of course, you know, the whole process of infinity is the, you know, the field of imagination, and the movement of that imagination into different, you know, experiences, forms, formlessness, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly, so, but to take the formless into form requires language.
Yes, it's true. You're creating a symbol out of a symbol.
Well, and, it uses intent, and it can be language, it can be visual stimulus, it can be some sort of a connection to experience, yes.
Yeah, because that experience that we're all having, you know, the experience, let's say the experience of the sacred, obviously we have many experiences.
90 seconds, Diane.
Right?
The experience, we have less than a minute.
Experience of the sacred, experience of the soul, experience of the spiritual connection. This is what we're all agreeing on. You can't say it in words, but to be able to manifest it.
And experience it.
Right. That's what we do,
that
and that's
simple.
How quantum thinking relates to it.
Well, this has been an amazing show. Don't forget to go to Diane Collins' show page on havingitallradio.com. And thank you so much for joining us, Diane. Harrison, it's great to have you on, too.
So honored to be here with all of you, and thank you so much, Marbeth, for having me to be on this great BBS network.
I should have asked some more compliments, but question, Diane.
I love the question you asked. We could go on like that forever, right?
Absolutely. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Doug. You're great.
Join Marbeth next week on Having It All. Visit havingitallradio.com to learn more about Marbeth Dunn and her special guests. And be sure to download your free report.